Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 15, verse 25. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 25. Now, this particular passage of Scripture deals with widows. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, 25, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow." Now, we're going to deal with the proud in another psalm coming up pretty, another proverb coming up pretty soon. So, we won't concern ourselves with that portion of the proverb. We'll be more concerned with what the Lord's going to do to establish the border of the widow. Now, in practical terms, the establishment of the border of the widow is simply this. When a woman would lose her husband, her inheritance from him might be in jeopardy if some people would come and actually take away some of the land that she owns by hook or by crook. And so what the Lord's saying here, what Solomon's saying here, is that the Lord will establish the border of the widow. In other words, God's interest is in the widow to support her and to protect her inheritance. Now, we're going to look at a lot of passages of Scripture in the Bible today, but you're going to notice that God is always on the side of the widow, and that sometimes men are opposed to the widow. Wicked men particularly will try to take advantage of her. We find references to this in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. And it is our duty as family members to protect the widow, and it is our duty as Christians to protect the widows who are in our church that might not have family members that can care for them. Now, in many cases, there'll be widows who have been well cared for by their husbands. That is, the husband was smart enough to leave an inheritance to her so that she was well cared for in her life after his passing away. But sometimes that's not always the case. Sometimes husbands have died and left their widows in debt. And we read about those cases in the Bible. So let's go through and see what the Bible has to say about widows. Now, I'm reminded as we talk about this section today, my grandfather used to say, he had a good sense of humor, and he used to giggle about that, and he'd call them widders, the widders. And nonetheless, this is a woman who's been married that's now without a husband, and she needs somebody to look after her. Well, first of all, we want to notice from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, that God looks out for the widows. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18. They're a special class for him, and he's concerned. I mean, after all, we refer to him oftentimes as God the Father, and in that capacity, as a father, he is concerned for his children, and he is concerned particularly for widows and for orphans, the fatherless particularly, the children of widows. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, "He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment." So that's the characteristic of God. He's a God of gods and a Lord of lords, a great God, and he is going to be sure to, as the Bible says, execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow. That is, when somebody tries to take advantage of the widow, they may succeed in taking advantage of her if she's not strong enough to protect herself. But God is going to execute judgment in her behalf either now or in eternity, and the person that takes advantage of her is going to regret doing so. Look in Jeremiah chapter 49, we'll find another reference. And there are many references to this, by the way. We are only looking at a few. All right, so we've got Isaiah, then we've got Jeremiah, and in verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 11, "Leave thy fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me." So if you're a widow today, and you've never really put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've never thought about trusting God to take care of you, may I encourage you to take advantage of his offer, "Let thy widows trust in me, because he's a very faithful God, and he'll take good care of you better than anybody down here possibly could. And with the help of others down here, he'll take excellent care of you. If you are a saved woman and you're recently lost your spouse, I was praying with a woman just the other day whose husband has been dead only a month. She was very sad. The tears just flowed out of her eyes and down her cheeks. And you know what I told her to do? Trust in the Lord. And gave her some scripture and prayed with her. The Lord will take good care of widows, according to the Bible. There's a special protection for them. As a matter of fact, in giving the commands to Israel, Israel was given specific instructions about what not to do with the widow. Look in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 22. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 22. The Bible says, "You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child." That would indicate that some might try to take advantage of them. And he says, you're not to do that. "If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless." In other words, the Lord said to the Jews, if you take advantage of a widow, I'll kill you, and your wives will be widows, and your children will be fatherless. So don't afflict them. He's watching out for them. Well, you want to know that, but if you're a widow, you want to be able to put your confidence in the Lord. He cares about your case and your condition. You're under a special protection, particularly as it concerned the nation of Israel when he gave them the law. Now, the Bible says that there are special provisions for widows. In the Old Testament particularly, we'll see what the New Testament has to say in a minute, but special provisions were to be made for widows in the Old Testament. In other words, God recognized that there would come times when men would die and their wives had not been protected by any type of accumulation of wealth that he might have made. And so they were going to have to take care of themselves. And God said, you know, they were a rural society. God said to the people, he said, now here's what I want you to do. When you harvest your field, don't go back into the field after you harvest it and glean what was left. Leave it. And when you harvest your vineyard, don't go back and glean what was left, what you missed the first time. Leave it. And the reason it was to be left is that there would be widows and there would be fatherless children that would go into that harvest and be able to get a little sustenance for themselves. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19, "When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgotten a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all thy work of thy hands." The Lord said, leave it. You gathered up the sheaves and left a bundle and forgot it, just leave it there. We'll use it to take care of the widows, and then I will bless you. So God will take care of you. Add something for your benefit there. "When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes out of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow." So the country, the people were to make special provision for the widows to allow them to gather from the harvest to have something for themselves. And when you look at the widows, there are some interesting things about them. They're very special because in many cases you'll find widows that provide a very special service to the Lord. A very special service to the Lord. In other words, God will single out a widow in the Old Testament or single out a widow in the New Testament who is doing something of particular importance that the Lord wants you to know about. He's using them in a special way. And this is good. Because if you're a widow, you may be thinking, my life is now over. I mean, my children are raised, my husband is dead. What can I do? Don't think like that. You have a special place in the heart of the Lord, and you can be used in a very mighty way to do something for him, like these widows I'll show you. Look in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. And notice this is concerning Elijah. And Elijah followed a desire of the Lord to dry up the rain for 3.5 years. Well, when you think about that, if he's down by the brook and drinking, eventually the brook is going to dry up, and it did. So watch what happened. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. The Lord said to him, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And then she goes on to explain how she's down to her last morsel of bread. She was going to gather a couple of sticks and cook a meal for her and her son, and they were going to die. But instead, she followed the command of the Lord and the command of Elijah and the desire of the Lord, and she provided him with the water, and she provided him with the food, and God made sure the entire time that there was a drought in the land that she always had plenty of meal and plenty of oil in her barrel and in her cruse to have sufficient to feed her and her son the entire time. She did something very special for the Lord, and the Lord recognized it and did something extremely special for her. And notice, she was in Zidon. She wasn't in Israel, and God took care of her. In Mark chapter 12, we'll look at a New Testament example here. Mark chapter 12, we're going to be looking at something you're probably familiar with, but this is the case of a widow, Mark chapter 12, verse 43, who was in the temple, and the rich people had put in plenty. I mean, they put in a lot because they had a lot to give. She didn't have a lot to give. She put in 2 mites, but she put in all that was of her living. Why? Because she trusted the Lord to take care of her. And look what the Bible says in Mark chapter 12, verse 43. He called unto him his disciples and saith unto him, "Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Now God made special note in the scripture to point out what this widow did when she put in a very small, meager offering into the plate. It was all she had. Now tell me something. The way the Lord took care of that widow in Zarephath, don't you rather imagine after Jesus Christ noticed this that God took care of that widow woman? You'll get to heaven and find that she made a very worthy investment and received a very worthy return. Look in Luke chapter 2, and you'll see another widow here. Again, a very special place. One widow, very special because she fed Elijah. Another widow, very special because she gave all of her living. And this widow, Anna, very special because she served the Lord day and night in the temple. Luke chapter 2, look at verse 37. The Bible says, "And she was a widow." Well, let's look at her in verse 36. "There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of above 84 years, or about 84 years. So she's around 83 years old, "which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." Well, she was blessed in that when she came to the temple, she was able to see the Lord Jesus Christ when he was presented in the temple. She and Simon were the only two that are recorded here that had that special blessing. What was she doing? With fastings and prayers, night and day, she was in the temple and serving God. Very, very special. So you see, if you have a widow in your family, or if you are a widow, they hold a very special place in God's holy word. And let me say this, if you have a widow in your family and she is a woman of means, you better not take advantage of her. You better not take advantage of her. I've seen that. The father dies, he's no longer around, and then the widow has some means, and then the children take advantage of her. Get her money, get her wealth, try to get things that they have now, and then leave her where she can't take good care of herself. That's wrong. It's wrong. It happens, but it's wrong. Now, my mother-in-law is a widow. My mother is a widow, and their husbands have taken care of them, thank the Lord. But I'll tell you what, it's still different because Dad's not around. And just want you to know that God holds a very special place for widows. Look, in Job chapter 29, Job is a very righteous man, as you know. And, of course, his own righteousness got him in some trouble with God, but he got all that straightened out. And then God blessed him double. Well, one of the things that Job did in Job chapter 29, verse 13, is that he took care of widows, and he got a blessing of it. Job chapter 29, look at verse 13. The Bible says, "The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy." I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. You ever given any money to a widow? You ought to do that sometime. You ever pray for a widow? You ought to do that sometime. You ever do anything to try to relieve her weariness? I mean, her husband's gone. That was the love of her life, the protector of her children, her help, his help. She was able to help him, and he was there to help her. Sometimes you got to step in there and make special provision and do things to try to help her with her children or help her with her needs. You ever do that? You ought to do that. There's a real blessing in that, a real blessing in that. Job did it, and he said about it, "I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy." That's the kind of blessing you ought to be to a widow. Now look at Job chapter 24, since you're there, and notice that the evil would never think, and the wicked would never think, to try to be a blessing to a widow and to cause her heart to rejoice. They never would. They'll take advantage of her. Job chapter 24, verse 21. Job chapter 24, verse 21, the Bible says, "He evil entreateth the barren that beareth not, and doeth not good to the widow." He doeth not good to the widow. Now you say, what kind of a person would do a thing like that? Oh, you'd be surprised. You would be surprised. You know, when Jesus Christ got after the Pharisees and the scribes, the hypocrites, before his crucifixion, I mean, he jumped them out, boy. He really jumped them out. He got after him and said, "You're blind leaders of the blind. You're hypocrites. You think the gift is the most important thing that happens down at the temple, not the temple itself. You think the gift on the altar is more important than the altar. And you're a bunch of whited sepulchers. You look good on the outside, and inside you're full of dead men's bones." I mean, he got after him, boy. He said to his disciples, "Don't call any man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." And they like titles like father and rabbi and master. He said, "Don't do that. Don't do that." And while he was getting after those Pharisees, he pointed out one of their great sins in Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation." You know who was getting after those widows? Religious people. And let me tell you something. There are times when widows are left with a nice inheritance. And what will happen is, the religious man, the guy with the robe, you know, that looks good, but inside he's full of dead men's bones, he'll side up to her and do things for her in order to gain her trust. And then what he'll do is he'll devour her house and for a pretense make a long prayer, so she'll think he's really doing something great for her, when in fact all he's trying to do is gain her confidence so he can gain her wealth. I've seen that thing happen over and over again, where huge estates are left to churches because the religious man knew where the money was and sweet-talked the woman out of it. And the Lord said, "You better watch that." He said, "You know what you guys are going to get? The greater damnation." Isn't that something? You'd think only the crooks would do it, but the crooks sometimes are high-profile religious people. Now, what should we do? We're Christians. What should we do if we're in a church and we have widows? What should we do? Particularly widows that can't take care of themselves. I mean, you know, they don't have the means. What should we do? Well, in Acts chapter 6, you might know that the first time you ever see the office of a deacon created, it is created to help take care of the needs of the widows. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, "In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." In other words, daily, the church was ministering, and when they were ministering, they were neglecting the widows of the Grecians. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among the 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So these were good men, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and they appointed them over the business, so that the preachers, the apostles, could go on. It says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So what, they were not going to neglect those widows. All right, now let's turn, with that said, and go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and notice something then. We may have a responsibility as members of the church to do things to help the widows. And in fact, according to the Bible, we do. But there are certain qualifications or certain restrictions that must be followed. So the whole passage here goes from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, all the way down to verse 16. And I'll read a little and comment a little. The Bible says, honor widows that are widows indeed. All right, that's going to be a woman that's actually lost her husband. Here we go. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So, if you have a mother that's a widow, or if you have an aunt that's a widow, it is your first responsibility to help them, to help her, to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now, she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, that is, no provision was ever made for her before, and she's all alone, doesn't have anybody to take care of her, desolate, she trusts in the Lord and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day, just like Anna did, that we read about in Luke chapter 2. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. That is, it's like an anesthesia, that type of deadening. She's living in pleasure, and the pleasure, it comforts her misery so that she doesn't really have the loss like some women would that would be desolate. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Well, that's quite a charge that Paul lays there. He says, look, if you've got a widow in your family, you take care of her. You're worse than an infidel if you don't. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Well, there's the qualification. He says, you know, if you're going to take care of the widow, take her into the number of those that you take care of in the church when she's 60 years old, and make sure she's got a good report, that she's been doing good works, raised children, lodged strangers, washed the saints' feet, relieved the afflicted, diligently followed every good work. If she's been serving the Lord, then you take care of her. But if she's, you know, living wantonly, and she hadn't been in church, hadn't been taking care of things, and all of a sudden her husband dies, she shows up down at the church, and aren't y'all going to take care of widows? And she hadn't been doing anything for the Lord. He said, don't let your heart get stressed out about that. She hadn't ever done anything for the church. She hadn't ever done anything for the Lord. Then don't be burdened that you have to take care of her. She should have been serving the Lord, see? Now, when you've got a woman that's tried to serve the Lord like that, and she gets into a situation where she's destitute and she's got to have the help, then he says, help her. Now, in verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, goes on to say, the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. In other words, he says when she's young enough, she's going to find herself a husband. And so don't feel like you have to have any pressure about taking care of her like that. It was funny. My grandfather, I told you, he called widows widders. And he used to say something that was a little humorous, and you just have to go along with his humor. He said, you know, a lot of times the widows wanted me to escort them to have a meal. My grandfather was a widower. And he was up in his 80s, and he used to giggle, and he says, now, when they're older, he said, I don't escort them, I haul them. That was funny. He said, now, the younger ones, he said, I'll escort them. And the point being, very simply, and it's just what you read here, when they're younger like that, their opportunity to remarry is generally, but not always, easier than when they're older, but not always so. All right? And he says, if they do wax wanton, against Christ, then they marry. He said they're going to have damnation because they have cast off their first faith. That doesn't mean that they're going to go to hell. It's just that the Lord would have taken more care of them if they hadn't waxed wanton against Christ. You know, that is, got out of church, started looking for a husband in any, you know, convenient place like a bar room they could find one. Verse 13, and with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So there's the rule, and basically he says, you know, if they're younger, it's better off for them to marry, because he says otherwise they're just going to put their nose into somebody else's business. And Paul very frankly said, we don't want that. We don't want that to happen. And then finally, if you want to measure whether you got a good religion or not, James chapter 1, verse 27 lays it clearly out for you and says this: pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So the measuring stick James lays down is to keep yourself unspotted from the world, to visit the fatherless, that'll be, you know, children that don't have dads, and the widows in their affliction. Now, not all widows go through affliction, but those that do need your comfort. And if you haven't ever done that before, you ought to do that. It's a blessing. God will take good care of you, and you'll get a blessing out of helping somebody else that needs the help, I'll tell you. So the Lord gives very specific instructions. We've simply gone through a whole lot of Scripture. You can tell we pretty much had to pass from Scripture to Scripture with the short amount of time and the great amount of Scripture to cover. But basically, you can see this. God's looking out for widows, and he is going to execute judgment on their behalf. And if you take advantage of them, God is going to get you. And God ordered special protection for them in the Old Testament and provided special things for them, like ways for them to collect some food when they couldn't farm their own, by telling these guys when they were farming to leave a little extra in the field for them. Now, a widow that really wants help from the Lord is one who's also going to serve the Lord, as you saw. And it is very evil to take advantage of them. And when they're in the church ought to do what they can to help them where they've got the need. There you go. Basic instructions from the Lord on how to handle widows. If you are one, pray that the Lord will give you a good church to help you. And if you aren't one, but you have one, either in the church or in your family, go out of your way to do special things for them.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.